Now go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 15. We'll read down to the end of the chapter tonight. And before we get going, I just want to say it's been a great day to be in the Lord's house today. It's been great to be able to see some familiar faces. It's great to have a visitor all the way from Tennessee today, and he's back tonight. And it's a blessing to me earlier. I appreciate that so much. Pray for his travels. And it's just good all around to know that there's not only believers here, but there's believers in every part of this country. And that shows you that God is at work. He's still saving souls. And we ought to be excited about those things. I'm coming upon a birthday here in the next week and a half. My spiritual birthday, April the 25th, 1986, is when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's a day that I'll never forget. I'll never forget the scenery. I'll never forget what took place that night over up in our old auditorium as we're watching the old movie Left Behind, old series, the one that was made in the 70s, not the one that was made in the 2000s, but the one that was made in the 70s, and watching that up there. I remember at the very end, you see people disappearing, and I sat here for 12 years of my life under the preaching of God's Word, and I've never called out to God for Him to be my Savior until I saw that film. And I was too embarrassed to go up forward and to receive Christ as my Savior in front of everybody because I didn't want to embarrass my father because I should have already been saved. I should have been saved coming out of the womb. So you're born into a preacher's family. God was still working on my heart. And right back there, probably where that fire extinguisher is, right outside those walls was an old tree that was there. And I couldn't go any further than that tree. I knelt down right then and there. And I asked God to save my hell-deserving soul. And from that day forward, He gave me a place in heaven. I had eternal life on that day, and He has yet to take it back from me, and I'm so grateful for that. I don't deserve it, but He gave it to me. And I'm an example of experiencing God's grace and an example of experiencing God's mercy on my life. And that is something that you and I should be sharing towards other people in this world, because we look around us, and there's a lot of people that are going to hell. And we ought to be concerned for those people. And God puts people in front of us for a reason, not for us to back down, not for us to cower away. It's a time for us to go to the Scripture like the disciples did and ask for great boldness to be a witness to this world. And the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. If you're a child of God, He's called you to be a witness to other people. And it's not just a pastor's job. It's not just the deacon's job or the trustee's job. It's all of our jobs. And that's just the first sermon tonight. That was free. The rest of it I will charge you as we go along. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor got out early. I made a joke this morning to Julie. I will make up for his time, and we'll get out a little bit later tonight. So, Julie, wake up. We're getting ready. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can be here tonight. God, I stand back and I just, I'm amazed at your grace and your mercy and your love towards us. We don't even begin to love people the way you love us. And God, I pray that you can help us to be that way, to have the compassion, to have the love and the mercy towards people that are around us. God, as we go through your word tonight, you have specifically spoken to me about this in my own life. So God, tonight, I pray that through the teaching of your word, that it would be a blessing and that it would be a help towards for somebody else that's here. And God, again, I just want to say thank you for a church that has a desire to have more missionaries go out into this world. Lord, I'm looking forward to hearing that we are now hopefully having 50 missionaries that we support from this church. And Lord, that would be all due because of you. And God, I pray that as we dig into our pockets more this year, and Lord, if some haven't dug deeper in their pockets, they still have to have faith to give what they have. I pray that it be blessed all around. And we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, well, we're going to read verse number 15 down to 28. The title of the message tonight is Quenching the Spirit. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And I'm thankful for God's word this evening. I began to ask myself a question this week. What is church? What is church? And why do we come? I've asked this question a few times as I have taken this pulpit on different occasions. But it's a question that I believe we need to ask ourselves quite often. Why do we come to church? And the answer, honestly, as we're asked that question or as we begin to ponder upon that question, the answer should be rolling off the tongues that is in our mouth. But for some, that could be a question that is hard to answer. I don't know why I come to church. I don't know what's in it for me. They don't have those type of answers. With that being said, we should look forward to being in church. I look around on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and even Wednesday nights, as we gather together as a family, a great excitement when we all get together. Some of us, we take a break from each other throughout the week. We might not speak to each other. We might not FaceTime each other or correspond through email or whatever you have to have that communication. But when we come back on Sunday morning or the Sunday evening or Wednesday night, I've noticed what is taking place in our church is the excitement seeing one another, looking forward to having fellowship with one another. Fellowship between believers is very important. It's good to have that fellowship, to be able to talk about God's word, to be able to talk about the great things that God has done in your life that particular week or even that particular day. So there ought to be a looking forward to going to church. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to go up to my wife's home church in Sioux City, and I have not preached there in a while, and I consider those folks family to me. I've known them for 26, maybe 28 years of my life. And they've been a great part of my life. And I haven't been there in a while. And I was excited to get back to be able to preach. But one thing as I was excited about, I was excited just to see old familiar faces and to be able to fellowship with them. So I enjoy going to church for those reasons. I enjoy going to church because I enjoy being edified. I enjoy being educated in God's word. I thought for me when I graduated high school that schooling was done for me. Little did I know I was going to spend the next phase of my life that learning is very important in your life. And you are constantly learning on a daily basis. So that's another reason why I go to church. I love the education that I get. I love the education that we got this morning. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep looking up. Keep looking to God. That's being educated. That's what I got from that this morning. And so we look forward to those things. And as we look forward to those things, nothing else should be of an importance to us while the services are going on. But sometimes we allow our minds to get distracted by individuals that are around us. Or we might get distracted by the fans that are going at this particular time. Those are not the important things for us to focus on. What we need to focus on is the Word of God. Not the speaker, but the Word of God. Because the speaker himself will let you down, but we have found out the Word of God, God himself, will never let you down. So we have that to look forward to. As a minister of the gospel and learning how to co-labor with other believers, church is a place that God has given us to be a help to each other. It's encouraging knowing that we can go to anybody in this room and we can ask for advice, and advice is given. We are being a help to each other. It's encouraging to know that if we're feeling down, might have some type of depression or might be facing some financial difficulties in our life, and we're able to go to another believer, and we can seek that believer out, and we can say, hey, I need your help in my life at that time. And your response can be, what can I do for you? And they will respond, I need you to be my prayer partner. See, we are co-laborers. We work together with each other. We're here to help one another. Church is a place that God has given us to be a help and to be an encouragement to each other. It's a place where we can help find comfort. And it is a place that we can edify one another. You can look at verse number 11. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. It's encouraging to know that people want your comfort. And it's also encouraging to know that people want to be edified by you. And that's a great thing for us to have. But so often that gets overlooked in our lives. And it gets pushed to the side because of other things that can get in the way. But there's first things I would like to look at tonight. There's three things that I believe that are very important before we even get to the heart of the message tonight. And I say this, we all need reminders of them from time to time in our life. The message has already been preached. Paul's preached this many times. But we need reminders throughout our lives until we get into glory with Jesus Christ himself. Because I've known, as a believer, we fail. We get down at times. We backslide at times. And we need reminders. First, let us look at verse number 16. It says, rejoice evermore. So this verse tells us that we are to rejoice evermore. Rejoicing means that we are either joyous or are extremely happy of what God has done in our lives. I just rehearsed a story to you not that long ago about my salvation that took place in my life. And to me, that is exciting. Matter of fact, it's more exciting to me today than it was back then. Because now I'm realizing what I truly got saved from. And besides that, I've had this problem sometimes in my life. Well, my testimony isn't that great. My testimony is just as great from somebody getting saved out of drugs and being an alcoholic or a sex addict, because God saved me from those things. My testimony is important. I'm excited about the fact, I'm joyous about the fact that, as I spoke about a couple weeks ago, my destination has been changed. I'm no longer going to hell. I am on my way to heaven. And with that being said, every single day, my journey is getting shorter and shorter. I'm looking forward to the day where I'm reunited with loved ones. Be able to see my grandfather once again. Be able to see my brother once again. Be able to see people who have gone on before us. Those are things for us to be rejoiceful about. Rejoice evermore. You mean we can rejoice in death? Most definitely. Because in death, because we have him, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And only a believer can understand those things. So we're to rejoice evermore. Be extremely happy of what God has done, not only in our lives, but perhaps in the life of somebody else. You know, when somebody gets saved out of this church, it's a time for us to rejoice. It's a time for us to be happy. When a prayer is answered from about somebody that's been seeking prayer about something, it's a time for us to rejoice. Those are exciting times. Upon the salvation that God gives, we should be ever rejoicing. In all honesty, there shouldn't be any unhappy believer ever. But I see a lot of unhappy believers. I truly do. I have come to realize not every believer is joyful. Some walk around with the saddest looks on their faces. And they're even afraid to smile at times because they're afraid their face might crack. That's how sad they can be at times. It's nice to have a smile on your face. You know, it's not natural for me to smile. It takes work for me to smile. See, that hurts. It's natural for me to do what I've been doing. But it's good to see a smile on somebody's face. So many people, they walk around with sad looks on their face, trying to rub their sadness off to other people. Being around sad and unhappy people brings me down. Brings me down to their level. I'm a believer in God, and to be honest with you, there's nothing for me to be unhappy about. I should be ever rejoicing. Losing their focus on why they are ever to be rejoicing. And I'm going to give you a short list on what we should be rejoicing about. The first one, and I've said it a few times, one is our salvation. We need to be excited about our salvation. Number two, we need to be excited and be rejoicing because now we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. By the way, He loved us even before our salvation, which is why He always pursued us. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Three, our destination has been changed and our sins have been forgiven. I'm thankful that God, when I sought His forgiveness, as Pastor said this morning, He forgave me in my past, He forgave me in my present, and He forgave me in my future. But am I still going to do wrong? Yes. But I still need to go to Him and confess my sins to Him. No different if I did mom and dad wrong at this point in time, I still need to go seek mom and dad's forgiveness. Ever rejoicing over these three things. The second thing that we see here in Scripture is found in verse number 17. And it says to pray without ceasing. We are to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means to constantly be seeking God in prayer. Do you realize you don't always have to close your eyes when you pray? You really don't. Some of us, when we drive, we need prayers. And I've seen some of you folks drive. And I'm on the other side of it. You think I'm going to close my eyes when you're in front of me? No, I'm going to be praying openly. We need to be constantly seeking God in prayer. Prayer is a believer's connection to God. I call it this, I gave it this, GPS, God's prayer service. Constantly seeking to talk with Him. Constantly going to Him about maybe your frustrations. Maybe your tribulations that you're going through, but not just about that, but going to Him and just being thankful for what He has done in your life. Amazing things will happen when you begin to seek God's will to be done while praying. Acts chapter 2 gives us a great idea on what took place when people went up to the upper room and they began to pray. And as they began to pray, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. After the Holy Spirit descended upon them, guess what took place shortly thereafter? Because of their desire to seek God in prayer, souls were added to the church. Prayer is important. Believers took time to meet with one another. They were in one accord, and souls began to be saved. I'm going to tell you something. I will never tell you how to pray or what to pray for or even how long to pray, but I will encourage you to do this. Set some time aside in your life, whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the afternoon, whether it be in the evening, and set some time aside to pray before your Almighty God. That needs to be done in our life. Set some time aside so that you can have a better relationship with the Lord. But even though I will not tell you what to pray for and how to pray for things, I will ask you to do one thing as you begin to pray. Pray for God's will to be done. Don't pray for your will to be done, because our will gets in the way. But I encourage you to pray for God's will to be done. That's when you know it's right. The third thing, as we begin to move along in here, it says in verse number 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So verse 18 says, give thanks in everything. Being thankful is realizing what God or someone has done for you. What God or someone has done for you. The verse also concludes that this is the will of God in our lives. One of the neatest things that takes place, I'm going to use a silly illustration, but one of the neatest things that takes place at Chick-fil-A is when you say thank you to the person taking your order, you know what their response is? My pleasure. My pleasure. It's an act of service. You're saying thank you, and they respond, my pleasure. So many things get done around here by people who don't want any recognition. But would it be so hard to let them know how thankful we are for them? People using their talents to serve God makes this individual very happy and very thankful for their desire to serve God behind closed doors for no man's applause. I'm thankful for those types of things. I'm thankful for folks who recognize and see need as we ask for a prayer request and they say, hey, I will do this. I will take this on. I want to be a help in this area. I'm thankful for those types of people. Thankful people are needed and appreciated. It makes things more enjoyable to do, and it does this. It gives a person a better attitude when serving God, knowing that they are appreciated. We like to be recognized that people appreciate us on certain times and certain things and in certain ways. But God also wants to hear words come out of our mouth and say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving my hell-deserving soul. God, thank you for healing our pastor. God, thank you for healing my wife. God, thank you for allowing the mechanic to fix my car and giving him the knowledge. God, thank you for allowing the pilot that's guiding our plane to get us to our place of destination. God, thank you for keeping us safe on the road. There are so many things that we can be thankful for. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to be appreciative people. We need to be thankful people. The last thing that I want to speak to you tonight is found in verse number 19. And this is the lesson that God had really taught me this past week. And I believe he was actually teaching me before this week began to even transpire. I believe it goes back further than that. I just came to the realization of it this week, of God working in my own heart and in my own life. And it's found in verse number 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. A few weeks ago, it was just last week, I was able to fully understand what the word quench means. While driving, I noticed some smoke in a particular part of our town, just south of here. And me, I have a investigator's mind. Hey, there's smoke, so there must be fire. And if there's fire, there must be somebody that needs help. So I began to further investigate, and it wasn't hard for me to go that far. I knew exactly where I was at, and I drove there. And as I drove upon the scene, I saw this elderly man come out of the house with a glass of water. This might have been his second, maybe third, maybe fourth attempt. I don't know. This is just the first time that I came out. there had been a small brush fire, probably about the size from this chair on the pastor. And right beside that was his house with vinyl siding. And so I see this elderly man come out. He wasn't in the greatest of shape. Matter of fact, he was pretty winded just getting in and out of the house. And without hesitation, I put my truck in park, and I walked out, and I said, "Sir, do you need help?" And he responded, "No, I think I can get this. Let me remind you, we've been going through a windy spell here lately. It's been so windy here, I think I saw Mary Poppins 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks." But regardless of that, I said, "Sir, we need to contain this because the wind is just going to take this fire and it's going to take your house." He said, "No, I think I got it." I said, "Sir, we don't have time." I said, "Where's your hose at? I need to get your hose." And he says, "It's all the way on the other side of the house, and this is a big house." And so I ran around the deck, and I go to the other side of the house, and I find the hose reel. And I hooked it up, and come to find out, it was the wrong hose. And so I disconnected that hose really quickly, and I found the one that I needed. And I hooked that up, and I ran across. And as soon as I got across, it seemed like forever, but I kid you not, it was probably 30 seconds. And you know, when something like that's happening, it seems like it's like eternity. But less than 30 seconds, that small little brush fire began to reach his house. His siding on his house began to melt. I got that hose turned on, and for the next 25 to 35 minutes, I was noticing what God was teaching me here. And I had to quench that fire. Quenching the fire is putting it out totally. Not only did I have to soak the material that was around there, but I also had, as I began to get the flames out, there's still smoke, meaning that there's still something consuming underneath everything. So I turned the hose over to the elderly man. I went to my truck. I got a shovel, and I began to get inside the area, and I began to turn everything up, picking at it and poking at it, trying to break it up. So within the next 25 to 35 minutes, the Lord allowed me to be a help to somebody to quench the fire, to put it out totally. You know, that's what we do at times as believers. We quench the Spirit of God from working. We render Him from working not only in our lives, but other believers' lives as well. There are some things in life that need quenching, but not the Spirit of God. I've noticed husbands and wives who constantly fight and argue in front of the kids and grandkids quench the Spirit of God. And on and on and on we can go with this illustration. Church is not the place for the Spirit to be quenched, but we believers are good at quenching the Spirit. We are good at being negative. We are good at about having bad attitudes. One of the last things that I want to do is walk into church and have somebody ridicule me and criticize me and do this, that, the other thing. What? They don't understand what is taking place. You're quenching the Spirit. And a negative attitude can have a negative outlook for somebody else. That must stop if that is taking place. But we're good at quenching the Spirit. Negative attitude towards another believer can cause them to stop serving God. That's the last thing that we want. Well, who and how can it stop someone from serving God? It can happen to the pianist. It can happen to the song leader. It can happen to the person behind the special music. And it can even happen to the preacher that particular day. Quenching the Spirit. God taught me something that day, and it's what I said earlier on. We are co-laborers together. We are here to work with one another. We're not here to criticize. We're not here to be negative. We're not here to have a bad attitude. We're not here to even give our own thoughts and opinions. We're here to be co-laborers together, serving the same Lord. And what we need to do instead of being a discouragement and a spirit quencher is to be an encouragement to one another. To be an encouragement to one another. When we don't focus on being joyful or constantly praying or being unthankful, we become a spirit quencher. There's something that I noticed about that old man that day. And that is, he was rejoiceful. I couldn't stop him from being rejoiceful about the situation. He goes, thank you for stopping by. I seen so many people drive by and not do anything. You saved my house, you saved my animals, and you saved my very life. Rejoicing. He was praying and hoping that somebody would stop by. Little did I know that I was the answer to his prayer. And when it was all done, he is the most thankful human being that I have ever come across in my life. All I did was stop by and quench the fire. Was a help. This past year has been one of the most difficult years of a lot of our lives with the COVID pandemic. I'm going to say this in my closing statements tonight. I say that as if I'm standing before a jury tonight. Not realizing it, I became a person who quenched the Spirit of God from working in your lives. From the things that I've said from the pulpit at times. My job as a preacher of God's word is not to quench the spirit. Instead, my job is to point people to Jesus and let them see his goodness and fall in love with him. I cannot be effective if I am a spirit quencher. Let's close with this in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn there. I think some of you know where I'm going with this. Instead of quenching the spirit, we have clear direction what we need to do. We need to put on the spirit. Well, what is putting on the spirit? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Take off the quenching of the Spirit and put on the fruit of the Spirit. If we as a church do these things, we will just stand back in amazement and see what God can do through us. Put on the Spirit of God. Take off the quenching of the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is very easy. It's very easy for me to go around and to point out this bad quality and that bad quality of an individual. That's not what it's about. It's about putting on the Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. God, I pray that if you have moved tonight, and I know you have, you've moved in my life. You've challenged me. So God, I pray within these next few moments that we have during the time of invitation, if you've spoken, Lord, people respond and get things right tonight. We ask you these things in your name.